Welcome to Focus Carolina, an exclusive program sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Provost Bob Lewin, and I'm excited to share this series of interviews with our Carolina faculty here on WCHL.
Dr. Marissa Maracini is an assistant professor in Carolina's School of Education. As a school psychologist, her research focuses on developing guidelines to help students transition back to school and recover from suicidal thoughts and behaviors.
Professor Maracini's primary focus is stabilizing the school reentry process across the state for kids who have been hospitalized.
My goal is really to develop a set of standards or a protocol that all schools can work from and all hospitals can work from, but I don't necessarily want it to be uniform. Every family, every kid, every school is a little bit different and a little bit unique. So the idea being that we have a sense of what it is that schools generally can provide to kids who are in crisis so that hospital clinicians have a better sense of, oh, okay, I can make a recommendation for a kid to use a pass to get out of class whenever they're really, really struggling versus making recommendations that schools just really don't have the ability to bring to fruition. If a hospital clinician was to make a recommendation for a child going back to school that they needed like a one-on-one support, but that child never had any special education services to begin with, the school has to start from the very beginning to begin to try to get this child any services. And so there sort of is a disconnect sometimes between what's the best thing that a kid can get and what the school's actually able to do. And I'm really trying to bridge that gap so that both institutions who are working really hard to support kids can work together to support the kids. Each school is equipped to do a certain amount, and there's always something a school can do. So one of the things that I've studied is the importance of school connectedness, right? So kids who feel more connected to their school and to their teachers are less likely to report having suicidal thoughts and behaviors. And that sort of is just generally, I mean, obviously doesn't account for a lot of other factors, but it points to the importance of something as simple as a teacher caring about a student or a teacher showing that they care about a student. So these guidelines might not be as specific as you need this specific resource or this specific one-on-one aid, but it may be more helpful so that teachers and school professionals who are working with these kids after they've experienced this significant crisis to feel comfortable knowing that just saying that they care or not being afraid to say like, hey, you shared with us that you were hospitalized. I'm here if you need to talk about anything during the day. It could be as simple as something like that, but it could be as complex as a particular kid needs really specific supports and a gradual reentry to the school, and they need more time to make up specific academic work. There's just so many different factors.
By studying the schools that have better resources, Professor Maracini can simplify ways for all schools to help kids in need.
Last year, I conducted a study where we surveyed school psychologists across the country to just better understand what it is that schools are doing, because we really just don't even know that. There's sort of this wonderful large preventative focus on suicide prevention in schools, but oftentimes the kids who are actually in crisis after they've been identified are sort of left hanging because we don't really know how to help these kids. I wanted to know, well, okay, so anecdotally, I experienced that as a clinician in schools. What are schools actually doing? We surveyed a little over 100 school psychologists just to find out if they had protocols and procedures, and if they did, what they were. And we found that 45% had some sort of informal procedure. So they may not have had it written down. It might not have been outlined explicitly, but they knew what to do when something like this happened. And that only 16% had something formal. And so that leaves nearly 40% who had nothing, no procedure at all. So just knowing that there are nearly 40% of schools that aren't even thinking about this issue necessarily until it's happening points to the need for these guidelines. We're doing these interviews with parents and kids who've been hospitalized for suicidal thoughts and behaviors. And then we're also interviewing school professionals, so school psychologists, school counselors, school social workers, nurses, principals, teachers, and then also hospital clinicians. But we're also conducting sort of a statewide survey to get a better sense of what it is that schools in North Carolina are doing to support kids. And yes, we have to go through the district to get a better sense of what's happening at a district level and if these protocols and procedures are within one school or within the whole district. So we're going to take all of this information and develop these guidelines and disseminate them to schools and hospitals across the state of North Carolina.
Thank you for listening to Focus Carolina, sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. To hear more interviews, visit chapelboro.com and click on WCHL On Demand or visit unc.edu.